Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to journey to Asheville, North Carolina, with our special guest, John Brock. Tell you a little bit about John. Growing up in rural Kentucky, John Brock comes from a long line of unsuccessful farmers. Unsuccessful? As a young man, he fell in love with his best friend, a handsome young man, and quickly realized that Kentucky was not a safe place, so he moved to New York, my hometown. After 5 years, John moved to Atlanta for the vibrant gay community. John served as the commissioner of Hotlanta Volleyball and participated in the gay games of 1990 and 1994. At the same time, John attended graduate school at Emory University and later worked at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, as a toxicologist. After working way too hard for 10 years, doing research in 17 countries and sitting in traffic far too long, John moved to Asheville in 2001 to be a professor and create a nurturing home life. John now teaches at the University of North Carolina, Asheville, and consults on a national study of birth defects. John lives in a loving web of people, but oddly, he's currently single. He would like to date. Hint, hint.
It pays to advertise.
Yes, here you go. Free advertising. He's currently raising his nearly perfect adopted 16-year-old son who will soon go off to college. He's also raising a sweet, somewhat neurotic dog who will not. Asheville is John's home base, and he dreams of living in other countries 1 or 2 months a year and some new adventures. Well, welcome, John. That's quite the bio. I love it.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And welcome to the podcast. So tell our audience, John, why exactly did you move? You said you moved from Atlanta to Asheville?
A variety of reasons, one of which I wanted to change jobs and I wanted to try teaching at a university, and that was good. But also, Atlanta is a heat island, and so it doesn't really cool off at night in the summertime. So it'll be 95 during the daytime and 94 at night, right? And so I didn't really like that much heat and humidity. And I moved to Asheville to get into a cooler climate because we live in the mountains here. And also to get away a little bit from the traffic in Atlanta. Atlanta grew quicker than its roads in a lot of ways. And I sat in traffic a lot, and I don't sit in traffic up here nearly as much.
Interesting. Yeah, it is cooler in Asheville than it is in Atlanta, hot Atlanta.
Yeah, here in Asheville, we have all four seasons. We get two or three snows a year. They're not very deep, it's a couple inches, but we don't really have the biting cold that you have in upstate New York. And we don't have, and then in the summertime, we don't really have those hot, it'll get it warm. We have nice warm weather all summer. But even in August, if we'll have a couple, say, high 80s, low 90 days, at night it cools off. It's actually a climatic condition related to the atmospheric cycling. We actually get cold, dry, downward air at night. So it's less humid and it's cooler at night here.
Nice, nice. So geographically, where is Asheville located within North Carolina?
So North Carolina really is sort of the coast and Piedmont and then the mountains. And in a weird way, it's really two states, that the mountains are a separate part. The Western North Carolina, the 17 counties of Western North Carolina are really quite mountainous. And that's what I would say about moving. If someone was thinking about moving to Asheville, you want to be careful about if you want a level yard, you have to look around, and you have to look around because you have to take into account that it's now a three-dimensional landscape. It's not flat. So you have to think about, do you want to be on a ridgetop or do you want to be in a valley? How much sun do you want? That kind of thing.
So Asheville has those choices? Like you could be in sort of the mountains?
Oh, yeah. And also... Yeah. You can buy up on Town Mountain Road here and have a clear view of the sunsets over Smoky Mountain National Park every night. or you could also buy further down in the valley and not have that. So the houses on the top and the ridgetops tend to be more expensive.
Okay. Now, getting back to the climate, is it hot and humid in the summer?
We have it's warm. We don't really get into the 90s very much. We're sort of 80s, high 80s, and it's not nearly as humid as Atlanta. That's kind of my reference. And it's certainly not as humid as Houston or New Orleans or any of those things. It's probably a little bit, no, I don't know. I mean, it's way drier here, it feels to me, than other places I've lived in the summertime.
Okay. Does it rain a lot in the summer, or do you have a rainy season?
We have a rainy season. It's usually the early spring and the late fall and a bit in the winter. We get a fair amount of rain. I think it's 50 inches a year, 55 inches a year. But it's not unpleasant. It's not bitterly cold and raining or anything like that.
To borrow some rain from you.
Yeah,
here in Phoenix.
Well, you know, we have a lot of, right just south of us is a temperate rainforest. Actually, a lot of Asheville's in a little bit of a rain shadow, and a lot of the rain is kind of screened out by the mountains. The air goes up and drops the water. And so we have an enormous amount of fresh water here. So a lot of the breweries are moving here, New Belgium and Sierra Nevada are moving here because of the quality of the water. And I think the Asheville City water is just amazingly good.
Very interesting. So I've been asking this lately. Has climate change affected the weather in Asheville?
A little bit. We're seeing a little bit less, fewer snows every year. And when we get snow, it doesn't last as long. And it's not 9 inches, right? It's 1 to 3 inches is kind of a normal snow for us. We don't have fires, though. We don't have really, really burning heat in the summer yet. I mean, maybe we will eventually, but we're not there yet. A lot of people see Asheville kind of as a climate refuge city because we don't get hurricanes, we don't really have earthquakes, and we don't really have wildfires. So
that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Well, because I always Google, what place doesn't have any natural disasters? And you just named it.
Well, and a lot of folks like Phoenix and Albuquerque and those places, as the weather changes and we get more droughts, those areas are going to really have trouble with water. And we don't have that trouble. We have a lot of fresh water here.
Do you flood at times?
Since I've been here 20 years, and we had one case where we had the remnants of two hurricanes, not the hurricanes themselves, but the remnants of the hurricanes hit us within 10 days. And that we had a fair amount of flooding during that, but it was a very small area that was affected. Biltmore Village, it's near the Biltmore Estate, was the place that was really affected.
And you don't get tornadoes either, like we've been experiencing in the Midwest?
It's extremely rare in the mountains. There's just not enough linear wind to create a tornado.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that sounds like an ideal weather place to live to me. Are there any quick getaways in the summer months? I guess you can go up to the mountains. The higher you go, the cooler it's going to be.
That's right. Yeah. In like an 80 degree day, you could drive up to Mount Mitchell and you'll need a sweater.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to cool off, head to Smoky Mountain National Park, or there's a place called Mac Patch, which is a beautiful plot of level land among all these mountains. That it's so cool up there. I mean, literally, you have to take a sweater with you.
That is cool. That is definitely cool. So tell us, does living in an LGBTQ community, is that important to you? Is there such a thing in Asheville? Asheville's pretty moderate and pretty accepting as far as I remember.
Yeah, Asheville is kind of an oasis in the Southeast, in some ways like Atlanta, that we have a lot of different types of LGBT communities within Asheville. There's a lot of retired gay men here that are our age. There are radical fairies here. There's a big lesbian community. Gay pride here takes over the entire downtown. I mean, and when I first moved here 20 years ago, that wasn't true. I mean, it was literally a small part of a parking lot in a mall. And now it's the whole city. I would say also, if you think about culturally, finding folks that do things that you want to do. Then there's gay bowling leagues, there's bridge clubs, there's reading groups, there's nude yoga, there's one of the biggest body electric workshops in the country is here. One of the kind of most famous facilitators within body electric is Liv is here and has. And so if you have an interest, you'll probably find a group here. There's hiking groups and camping groups. You'll probably find folks that are like-minded that are gay. And so it's a very accepting place. I my ex and I and my kid have always felt really comfortable here. And not so much 20 years ago, but now it's just not an issue anymore.
So is there an actual gayborhood where you see rainbow flags hanging, or is that exist, or is it just integrated?
It's more integrated, which I think is happening in a lot of cities. It's just really integrated here because it's just not an issue. So I fly my gay flag in my neighborhood, and there's a lesbian couple across the street, and there's two gay men that live around the corner. I mean, we're kind of dispersed within the city, but there's a lot of us. So it's just kind of not an issue. I don't think people move if they're not pretty progressive.
Are there any gay bars, so to speak, or is everything integrated?
There's one called Banks Avenue. There's O. Henry's. There's a place called Scandals, which is mixed, but it's also gay, predominantly gay. I mean, there's drag shows, there's gay bingo once a month, there's a gay men's chorus. And so, yeah, there's a nightlife. I would say the nightlife is more like tea dance kind of nightlife. The number of older gay men, our bedtimes have moved up, right? It's no longer 3 or 4 in the morning anymore. It's like, okay,
no, it's more like 9, 10.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. For me, at least.
I think that, there is a young gay male community here that still, parties hardy. But I think that a lot of the things are geared towards the dominant demographic, which are gay men our age.
Tell us, if we go outside of Asheville, are we still feeling safe? Like if we go out to the suburbs or the outside areas, or do you kind of like have to...
It depends. We are an island within a very rural area, and the Western North Carolina tends to be more red or more conservative and less tolerant in general. So yes and no. I mean, there's a little town called Burnsville that's just north of us, and Weaverville that's north of us. And those are small cities, but they're also very progressive. But then you also have Hendersonville, which is south of us, which is much more conservative. And so I have to say it's kind of episodic. A lot of really liberal people have moved here, and it's continuing to change. But there are places where I would not hold a boyfriend's hand outside in public.
Right.
But down in Asheville, not a problem. But if I went to some small towns in Avery County, I'm not sure I'd feel as comfortable doing that.
Gotcha. Okay. So I guess it's easy to make friends in Asheville because of all of the gay people and the different things that you can do, like meetup groups and stuff like that. Is it fairly easy to meet people?
It is. I believe it is. Yes. And that, I think that's true. And there's a lot of different, like I'm in several groups, different kinds of groups. And so I know my web of folks that I know keeps getting bigger because I know people in multiple groups. And so once you get into one group, you'll meet someone that's in another group. And then all of a sudden, I think also I mentioned before, and I want to make sure when you and I talked before this, that I mentioned the Gay Men's Supper Club, which is one of the oldest continuous monthly gay men's supper club in the country. They meet once a month. They often meet in like a community center, or they're also meeting in people's homes. And it's somewhere between 50 and 100 gay men. And just, it's a potluck. People bring food and it's lots of fun.
That's a good way to meet people for sure. Yeah. And then I'm sure you meet people and you kind of branch out because there's so many people, you're not going to become friends with everyone. So you kind of like meet people that you talk to and kind of branch out that way.
Well, and there's a lot of people who are still moving here. There's a lot. We have a lot of influx from particularly Florida and New York and California. Those are the three big states that are people moving in from, which makes property values a little tough, but it also brings in a lot of new folks. So there's, I'm constantly having a friend say, I just met this new person, you should meet them, and that kind of thing, which is fine. It's great.
Pretty soon Nashville is going to get so crowded. I'm assuming that the outer areas or towns outside adjacent to Asheville will also have gay populations.
I think that's happening.
So many people are.
Yeah. I think that's actively happening. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the local economy like? What could I buy a house for? Give us a general idea of the median price for a single family home. Maybe if what the price would be for condos or rentals. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about utilities and cost of living.
Right. It comes down to location, right? But I'll say that I think the median price in Asheville is $420. And it's been rising pretty quickly. Houses come on the market and they sell really quickly right now. And it hasn't slowed down a whole lot yet. If there was a recession, I suspect it would. But if you want a house within the city limits, you're probably looking at right at $500,000 for a 3-2, for a good 3-2 in good shape. If you're willing to live a little bit outside of town, you might get down into the low 300s or 350 for a 3-2. Condos, I don't know as much. And the condos are highly dependent. Like the ones downtown, the ones that are really in the old part of town, are going for $750,000 to $1 million for a 2-bedroom condo. And so those are just sky high. There are smaller condos that are a little bit further out that are in the probably the 300 range, the low 300s for the same 2-bedroom, kind of 2-bath kind of thing. And so it kind of depends on what you want. A lot of folks who are moving here have been looking in Weaverville, which is just north of us. Some folks look at Henderson, but fewer in Hendersonville because it's so conservative. But people are looking sort of on the edges of Asheville now, and a lot of folks are moving there as well. And you can get down into the 300s pretty easily there.
How about a rental? Do you know what a rental would be?
The house across the street from me just rented for $2,500 a month, and it's a 3-2. And so that seems to be the going rate right now, about $2,500 a month. But I'm in a good neighborhood in the city, so.
Yeah.
You might be able to get something cheaper outside the city, but you're probably going to still above 2,000. Yeah.
When you say in the city, is that like the downtown area?
Well, the downtown area, I live just north of downtown. So the area I'm in is very residential, a lot less traffic. There's no three streets in my neighborhood. So if you come into my neighborhood, you live here. And so that's nice. I can walk my dog and my kid can ride his bike, and there's just not that many cars coming through. So
right.
It depends on what you want. If you want that city feel, a condo downtown is probably your best option, but it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, I bet. How about utilities, cost of living, groceries? Let's start with utilities like gas and electric. What do you think is the average?
I'm paying probably $60 a month for electricity. And
it's not bad. Do you run your air during the summer a lot?
Not a lot. Yeah. I'll go for months where I don't need heat or air, oddly enough. There's a big stretch in the spring and a big stretch in the fall where I don't really use air conditioning or heat. And what I do is at night I open the windows up, and in the morning I just close them back down, and I can go a lot of the summer without much air conditioning.
That's great. What a savings that is.
Well, and it's nice. I don't know what other people think, but I think it's really nice to have an open window in the summertime. And just feel that cool breeze coming in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. That is lovely. So how about water bills?
I have city water. I think I pay $100 every 3 months for city and sewer, for water, sewer, and trash pickup.
Really good.
3 months. Taxes here are much, much lower than, say, places like New York, California. Taxes on my house are about $3,000 a year. And my house is valued around $600,000 or something.
That's really good. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. How about grocery bills? Are they any more than anywhere else that you've been to? Or less?
Well, groceries have gone up a little bit. I think that if you are a wise shopper, I think you can do very well in Asheville because we have Harris Teeter and we have Trader Joe's, we have Ingles. We have a lot of different competing groceries. And then we also have a local grocery called Hopi and Company. And it basically winds up being sort of wholesale pricing. And so they wind up being a place where you can get like those luxury items, like really good cheese, cheap and that kind of thing. So it's not bad here. I'm certainly spending, well, I have a 16-year-old, so he's eating everything in the world, but I'm spending way less than I was spending in Atlanta. I will say dining out has gotten very expensive, and part of it has to do with the pressure of tourism. We have wonderful fine dining. We have award-winning chefs. Curate is run by a chef named Katie Button. She was the assistant chef at a place called Noma, the number one restaurant in the world in Copenhagen. And she's here and she's amazing. But her Curate is one of those places where you're going to drop hundreds of dollars for a meal, but it's worth it. But it's also a lot of the restaurants are catering to the fact that we have so many people coming in. And so it's kind of hard to find reasonable dining sometimes, reasonably priced dining. There's the local diner and there's a local pizza place. And there's some places where you get kind of everyday food. But dining can be expensive here, especially if you like fine dining, which I do.
So the restaurant scene, you would say you can pretty much find any type of cuisine?
Oh, yeah. For example, Chai Pani, which is a restaurant here that specializes in Egyptian street food.
Wow.
The chef there just won the Bearden Award for one of the best new chefs. He's amazing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really eclectic. You can get dumplings. You can kind of get what you would get in a bigger city. And the only reason that exists is because we do have tourism. So that's created this. Okay. When I first moved here 20 years ago, there wasn't much tourism and there wasn't much selection in restaurants. And now there is.
I know Asheville has been on the list for like best retirement places. I don't know for lately, but years back, I remember maybe 10 years ago, Asheville was always making the lists, and I'm sure it still is, but they were making the top lists as best place to retire.
Yeah, and well, we have really good healthcare here. I don't think we've talked about healthcare yet, but two of the main hospitals here, Party and Mission, are really, really good. And for Western North Carolina, for the whole region in the mountains here, people are helicopter them in because if anything happens, this is the place they bring them. So, wow. So that, you know, that, and that's good. I think that we are still on a lot of those lists. And frankly, in some ways I'm being counterproductive because I hope we slow down on our growth a little bit, but I think one of the reasons that we've slowed down on those lists is that the price of housing has just gone up so quickly. I mean, my house has doubled in value in 5 years. So
yeah,
that's made it so it's a little harder to get in the market here. But if you're coming from Florida or New York or California, you're probably going to think houses are cheap here.
Right. Yeah. It's all relative. So we were talking about the medical and the hospitals. Do you find yourself waiting a long time for medical care for appointments?
Not at all. Never.
Not at all.
Yeah. We had to have my son check. My son's a swimmer. We had to have him checked out recently. And they got him in the next day. I mean, and it was some pretty,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, and I've never waited more than a week for anything, for any doctor or anything.
And you'd say the healthcare is great. It's pretty superior there.
My experience has been, it's very, very good here.
Excellent. Excellent. What more would you want in a place? So, okay. So how about arts and culture? Tell us a little bit about the arts and culture scene. Do you have theater? What kind of arts and culture does Asheville have?
Well, I'll start with the theater. We have a lot of smaller theaters, and most of them present really interesting plays. And one of them specializes in local playwrights. And so you're always seeing something interesting. They have a playwright festival every year, and so you always see really interesting one-act plays and stuff. We don't have a lot of, we do have the Diane Wortham Theater where a lot of the touring Broadway shows will come through. Some of the bigger Broadway shows that are come through will actually come in Greenville. Greenville is only about an hour away. And I actually run down to Greenville to go to the symphony sometimes because their symphony is way bigger. And I actually have a friend that plays the violin. But, and so not only do you have, if you can't find what you're looking at here, Greenville actually winds up being a place where if you like that big scale entertainment, something that a musical that's still on Broadway, you drive down to Greenville to go there. It's only about an hour. As far as the art scenes, we have a lot of local artists, and once again, tourism supports that industry. So we have a lot of people who are artists wind up moving here and having studios. And right along the river, I don't know if anybody knows this, but there's something called the River Arts District. It used to be an industrial site. And what happened was a local environmental activist convinced all the people that had the industrial sites to sell, to create this arts district. And EPA came in, they did a big cleanup, and now we have this beautiful walkway along the river with biking paths, separate car paths, and separate walking paths. And then there's a bunch of artist studios down through there. So you can just walk through all the studios, and it's all local artists, and it's fun to go do. I go down there regularly because it's always changing. So I think
that's available all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even the winter when we don't have quite as many tourists, it's still vibrant and still happening.
Okay. So it seems like Asheville has arts and culture. You have local theater. You even have the Broadway theaters that you could, the off-Broadway, you know, the touring Broadway theaters that you can go to. I'm sure you have your movie theaters.
Oh yeah,
as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So it seems like Asheville so far is self-sufficient. I mean, you could do pretty much anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, I think Asheville think of Asheville as being more backward than it is. It's really a cosmopolitan city now. I mean, it's not a huge city, but it's cosmopolitan.
Speaking of that, do you know what the population is?
I forgot.
Is it something? I think it's like around 100,000.
Yeah, I think it's 90,000 actually. But that's probably just a city proper. If you go and you look at the regions around us, you would probably find that 90,000 is small compared to Asheville. Is really a metro area now.
And it was just a city at one time, right? It wasn't really considered a metropolitan area?
Right, exactly right, yeah. And one of the things I was going to mention about the history of Asheville, we haven't talked about that yet, but what's interesting about Asheville is that, like every other city, in 1929, 1930, during the Great Depression, a lot of cities went bankrupt. And Asheville effectively lost all the loans and everything that it had. But the city of Asheville never filed bankruptcy, and it took until 1985 to pay off all of that debt, 1985. But what happened was, in the 1970s, all the cities that had taken on the bankruptcy part were forced by the federal government to do urban renewal, and they had to tear down all their old buildings. Well, Asheville didn't have to tear down its old buildings. So we have downtown, we have these great old buildings that would have been torn down if it wasn't for that. And so the nice thing is we have this vibrant downtown with all these old brownstones and old, really beautiful buildings that would be impossible to recreate, and they're original.
So did businesses like gut them and restore them?
Yeah, right. So they have gutted the insides and restored them. So in almost all the businesses downtown, there are almost no chains that... Almost all the businesses are local downtown. So I don't know if you've had this experience where if you go to, like, I'm from Louisville. If you go to Louisville, you see a lot of the same stuff downtown. You see a Hard Rock and you see all these same shops, right? And then if you go to Houston, you see the same stores. Well, in Asheville, that's not true. It's all local businesses. So it's different.
I love that. Yeah. So you don't have to see it and go to a chain. Yeah, when we lived in Florida, it seemed like everything was a chain as well.
Right.
So I like to get away. I like that New York City. I'm an urban person, but New York City, you can go into the city and they're full of chains, but there are so many local restaurants that you can go to.
Right.
I figured, why go to a chain? I love that. So Asheville has its own mom and pop kind of culture.
Yeah, there was a big brouhaha about 5 years ago when Urban Outfitters opened a store downtown. And it, I mean, people boycotted it for years. And so I'd be curious to see if they're how well they're doing. But they were the only chain that's ever even tried.
Interesting. That's really interesting. Okay, let's talk about transportation. Is there any transportation that you can get around the city? Do you need a car? I would assume you do. And yep. Is there traffic? And what's the closest airport also?
Okay, so the Asheville Airport is about 15 minutes south of Asheville, and it's now being expanded again. They're completely remodeling it over the next 2 years. I would say that if you came to visit, I would plan on driving your car. There is a bus system. It is simple. It's good. It's clean, but it doesn't run as often as I would like, living in the city. The other options are that we're a very bikeable city now. They just took the main road, Merriman, which runs north-south through the city, and we have bike lanes on both sides of it now, dedicated bike lanes. And we have bike lanes down through the River Arch District. So if you are a biking person, you're going to be very happy. But I would warn you that if you are a biking person that lives in Florida, you need to remember that this is not Florida. It's all up and down. There's a lot of mountains. So maybe an electric bike to get you to help you adjust.
That would be for me. Yeah. That would be for me because I'm used to pedaling. It's pretty flat here. Yeah. I could imagine it being a little hilly over there.
Around traffic has gotten worse. It's not nearly as bad as anything like Atlanta or anything, but it has gotten a little bit worse since I've lived here in 20 years, I guess. And so if I was thinking about, and I chose specifically to live in North Asheville because the traffic's way better here. If you're going to live in South Asheville, the 26, the main highway, gets really backed up every day. And so going north to south can be a bit of a problem. But if you live south and work south, or you live south and most of the things you do are in South Asheville, that's fine. If you live in North Asheville and most of the things you do in North Asheville, that's fine as well. It's going back and forth that's really the problem. East and west is less of a problem. There's not as much traffic east and west. And part of that has to do with the Biltmore Estate. The Biltmore Estate takes up so much land that effectively there's only 26 is the only way through that section. So it tends to back up because it's the only road through there that's anything near direct. And it seems like they've always been working on 26. It's continuing to be worked on until the end of time.
Yeah, never stops. Yeah, I've been to the Biltmore Estate quite some place. But anyway, so for the people that are still working, you would recommend them if they were to work somewhere in Asheville, they should live close by to work?
That would be my suggestion because as Asheville continues to grow, we have some barriers to building new roads, right? We have mountains, we have the Biltmore Estate right in the middle. And so I would suggest living pretty close to work, certainly living on the side of town that you're working in. I would not, for example, I work in North Asheville at the university. I would not live in South Asheville just because I don't want to sit in traffic.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Tell us about, so you were talking about the airport, the Asheville Airport. What type of, is it just domestic and how do I get to different places? Is there a larger airport that I would have to go to?
Yeah, we have more and more direct flights. So we have direct flights to LaGuardia now. We have direct flights to Miami. We have direct flights to the Bahamas. We have direct flights to Dallas. But a lot of times, like if I'm traveling internationally, I'll fly Asheville, Atlanta, or Asheville, Charlotte, and then fly overseas. There's not a lot of international flights out of the Asheville Airport, but there's more and more domestic flights. But you often, like if I fly to San Francisco, I usually have to change planes, either in Dallas or in Detroit. And so American serves us Southwest, American Southwest, Delta.
And Southwest. I wonder if you can get a flight to Phoenix.
Maybe. And then Allegiant has a hub here. And so you can get to most places in Florida really cheaply if you were to, like, I'll sneak off and go to Sarasota, and that's not very expensive.
Okay. Tell us about the crime. Is there any crime in Asheville? And do you feel safe going out at night, walking your dog where you are? Tell us a little bit about that.
So in terms of crime, I've never felt unsafe in Asheville, ever. And I've lived here 20 years. If there's any kind of crime, it makes the front page because it's just unusual. We have a couple of shootings every once in a while, but there's one neighborhood that it tends to be focused in, and there's almost nowhere else. There's this one rough neighborhood, and that's the only place that really that's sort of a troublesome area, but everything else is really safe. We don't have a lot of burglaries. We don't have a lot of muggings. There's very little crime here, actually. Even late at night downtown, I mean, a homeless person may ask you for money, but that's the most dangerous moment. You're going to be going, okay, well, that's not that dangerous. There is a second issue around safety, and that is, especially in my neighborhood, walking in all hours, night and day is safe. It's just not a problem. I will say in the early morning and the late evenings, you have to keep your eye out. There are occasionally black bears around. They don't really want to have anything to do with you. But if you happen to bump into one or you get too close to one, they'll let you know that they don't want you nearby. And so, you know, that early morning and late evening during the summer and spring, you can occasionally see a bear. I had a bear walk through my front yard yesterday, but they really don't want to have anything.
Really?
Yeah. He was a big boy too, but they really don't want to have anything to do with you. You just get bear smart, right? You just say, okay, wait a minute. Black bears, you want to make a lot of noise. If you have a dog, like I have a dog, the bear will not come anywhere near my backyard because my dog goes in and out of the backyard. And my dog's tiny. So bears, you know, the bears are really, they don't want to be around dogs at all. And they don't really have anything to do with you, right? I mean, if you leave them alone, they'll just wander off. And you don't, I have to put my trash out. On trash day, I have to put my trash out in the morning so the bear didn't get into it the night before. So you don't want to bait it so the bear comes to your yard. So you just have to learn to be smart living around some bears.
So they never get in people's houses, do they?
No. I mean, they don't try to get in a house. No, if you left your door open and you had food on the counter,
right?
If you're inviting them in, they're going to come. Right?
I'd freak out.
Let's not create bear habitat, right?
Yeah, I'm being a city boy from New York City originally. I can't imagine a bear. I don't know what my reaction would be, quite frankly. If I saw a bear in my backyard, I'd be like, okay, time to go in.
Yeah, well, that's the right response. And just make a lot of noise and they'll wander off.
Interesting. But as far as crime is concerned, you don't have a concern walking your dog. If you had to take him out 2 a.m.
There's no problem. Yeah.
You know, I never asked this question, but considering different states in the United States these days have different gun rules, does Asheville have open carry? Well, does North Carolina? I guess it's a federal.
No, I don't know that. I mean, I think that you will see people carrying guns in this area. I mean, it's just North Carolina. It's still the South, and it's still, you've got some folks around who don't feel safe without a gun, although they're calling us the snowflakes, I'm just saying. But I think it's rare that I ever see anyone with a gun. It's not common, especially in the city. I don't believe that there's open carry legally in the city, but I don't know the rules on that.
Okay. Because here in Phoenix it is. So anybody could be carrying a gun.
Wow.
It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
At least to me it is.
Yeah, right.
But okay. How about homeless? Do you get any homeless?
Yeah, we have whenever you have a lot of tourism, you have a lot of homeless folks because they can be on the street and get people to give them money. The nice thing is we have several different really strong homeless organizations, and the language that they tend to use is unhoused folks, that they're unhoused. And there's several organizations here that are working really with that community to try to especially get them off the street so that they have a house. They have a home, they have a place to stay, and that they're safer that way and they're healthier that way. And so you will run into homeless folks on the street. They don't bother, and that's the city police are really good about making sure that there's limits to what they do in terms of asking people for money and that kind of thing. And the city's pretty been managing it pretty well, I think. I think it's still a challenge in every southern city because the weather is conducive. And especially if you have tourism, then tourists tend to give the folks money just so they can leave them alone. And actually, the homeless organizations here recommend that you don't give them money because it's the worst thing you can do. You can actually instead buy them a meal or donate to a homeless organization because that's more structure. That helps a lot more.
Right. So they won't buy drugs and substance abuse.
Yeah, this is a nationwide problem, right? I mean, this is not just Asheville.
Yeah. So you don't see tents, like homeless tent communities.
No.
Anywhere.
No,
like you do in some cities.
No, we had a problem with that last summer, and there was a tent city that developed on a vacant lot, and the city shut it down, but they did it the right way. They brought in the homeless organizations to help figure out where to take these people so that they would not be in tents. And so that community was dispersed in the right way, that they weren't just pushed off the land. They were rerouted to
placed to more support,
right?
That's good. That's good. At least the government definitely is doing the right thing by doing it that way.
Yeah, it's a pretty progressive city council. I mean, there's a lot. The city council has actually tried to pass lots of things, and they've been overridden by the state legislature. So there's been this push and pull between the two. The city's being tried to be more progressive, and the state legislature is pretty conservative. So it's been a push and pull.
I think Asheville is like one of the most progressive cities in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're compared a lot to places like Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Eugene, Oregon. I think those are the places that there's some similarity there between us and them.
Okay. So is there anything in Asheville that, I mean, I know you've been there for 20 years, but is there anything that you don't have that you kind of miss from being in Atlanta, New York?
I miss gay volleyball, actually. Hotlanta volleyball was really fun. So we don't really have any equivalent to that here. There are teams that play together that are gay, but there's no gay league. Just a little bit different scale. I think that we have two or three of everything here. In Atlanta, you might have 20. I have to say that I don't really miss Atlanta. I miss my friends there, but I don't think I miss Atlanta very much. I feel more comfortable here. It's a better quality of life here. We have an Asian grocery, right? We have lots of Thai restaurants. We have a Vietnamese restaurant. I mean, we have a big Ukrainian community here. We have a big Greek community here. It's just interesting that you don't think of Asheville as being diverse, but it's diverse in a lot of ways. I wish it was a little more diverse around color. I think it's only 5 or 6% African American in Asheville. Which is, I see that as a little bit of a downside, especially because my son's African-American. But in terms of other ethnicities, including Latinx communities, we're pretty diverse.
Excellent. So are there any cons? It sounds like it's kind of a really unique place that by talking to you, it's like I want to live there because it pretty much has everything you described. Is like what people look for in retirement. So it has great weather. Mm-hmm. It has all community services. Yeah, the cost of living is comparable to an area that's desirable. Mm-hmm. So, and progressive. Again, it is progressive. Mm-hmm. There's low crime or no crime, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no natural disasters. That's what I look for in a place to retire.
I was thinking about where are my frustrations. I think that if I was a young working person, I think I'd be frustrated by the cost of housing here and the low and finding good paying jobs, although that's starting to change. But, you know, that in a lot of ways, Asheville's good to retire. And I don't know that I would, unless you had a job here specifically, I think it's difficult to find one within Asheville that's a good paying job. So to retire here is one thing. I think to move here and try to create a career here is a little bit of a challenge, I think. And then the other frustration I have is that the state legislature and the state senators and congresspersons can be quite conservative, and it's very frustrating. It doesn't affect my day-to-day life very often, but that it is frustrating to live in a state that has more voting Democrats than Republicans, but because of the congressional districts, I think it's, what is it, eight out of 11 of our representatives are Republican. And so that's frustrating. It's frustrating to not feel like that you have the voice that you should have as a progressive person. And so,
right.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect us day to day very often. I mean, it certainly is. There's certainly things the city council would do if they were allowed to, but they're not being allowed to do some of the things that we really need to do in the long run. But so
you find that there's a lot of things that are just not done because of politics.
Right.
Because of that.
Well, I'll give you an example if you want. There's a tax on all the hotel rooms, and that tax for each hotel stay, there's some number of dollars that goes into this kitty. Well, the city wanted to use that to create more affordable housing in the city to reduce traffic in the long run. Well, the state legislature wouldn't let them do it. So that money has to go to increase tourism rather than actually make things better. And so it's starting to change a little bit. I think the conservatives have figured out, well, wait a minute, we can't kill the golden goose here. And so some of that money is now being used to develop parks and bike lanes and that kind of thing. But the city wanted to be more progressive about it and really start building affordable housing because for our police, for our service folks, right? So they don't have to drive in so far every time.
Yeah, that's very important.
So, and that's a little frustrating to watch, but I think we're slowly changing that, but it's just not been easy.
So would you describe Asheville as like more of a retirement, like its demographics, more of a retirement community than younger generations living there?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially for gay people, for whatever reason. I think we, the older gay men and women, tend to be the dominant group here.
That's kind of refreshing. I like that.
Well, it's served. I understand.
I mean, for us, it's good. For the younger folk, it's not that good.
But right.
But for those who are looking for a retirement place, it's pretty darn good.
Yeah. I have one little piece of advice I can, especially around if someone's thinking about moving here and looking for a house, I would suggest that, you work with an agent, of course, but that you plan on putting in backup offers on houses. What happens here a lot is that it can be quite competitive in this market for a house right now, and that you find a small number of houses that you really like and put in, it might be a primary offer on one, but you put in backup offers on several that you like, because it moves very quickly. The way the laws are set up in North Carolina, it favors you putting in a backup offer because a lot of the original offers will fail because of the way the real estate law is set up here. And so that's different than a lot of other places.
So you put in an offer and then you also put in a backup offer?
Yeah. So, well, let's say that you went and looked at five houses and you like three of them, But
right.
But those three have already, like, even one might be under contract. What you do is you put a, if those are under contract, you put a backup offer on them.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because it's just it's a fluke in North Carolina law that even if something under contract, the person that the buyer has the right to void the contract almost at every point. And so, And so a lot of contracts will not go through. So if it says under contract, like I'm from Kentucky, if it was under contract, it's sold. In North Carolina, if it's under contract, it might be sold, but it might not.
But it doesn't mean anything.
It means someone's intending to buy it. It doesn't mean that they're going to buy it.
They're going to buy it and go through with the contract. So, okay, that's good advice. So even if you see something that's under contract, why not put a backup offer on it just in case, right?
Yeah, right, right. That's how I got my house.
Good advice. Good advice. Yeah. Hey, you've been happy. You've been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
In wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking of moving and retiring to Asheville in North Carolina?
It's a great place. It's a beautiful, it's my home. I love it here. I don't really have much criticism about it. I think that you should visit, get to know the neighborhoods, decide what kind of neighborhood you want to live in, and come on.
So a good question would be, so in your retirement, do you have any plans of maybe snowbirding somewhere or moving to part-time?
I think I'm probably going to try to rent an apartment in Europe somewhere for a couple months a year. My son will be going to college in about a year and a half. And so once he goes to college, I'm going to sort of be more freewheeling. And I lived in Copenhagen, Denmark for a while and really loved it. I'd like to go back there, but I'd like to be able to go and rent an apartment for a month, maybe do, home exchange, right? Somebody comes here and I go there. Because I like living, I don't like going to places as a tourist. I like going places to see how people live. And so that's my plan, is to spend a couple months a year in another country. But this is my home base. Yeah.
Do you have a pet? Do you have a dog?
I do. And I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about that right now.
So what I was going to say, there's a company out there called Trusted House Sitters that I've joined their group. So for a fee, it's like $250 a year, you pay Trusted House Sitters, and then you get these applicants from all over the world who want to be in Asheville, let's say, at the date that you want to be in Copenhagen.
Oh.
And so you interview them online, like a Zoom session, and you don't pay them, you pay Trusted House Sitters, and they come to your house and they're fully bonded. They come to your house, watch your dog, and stay at your house. And
Mark, you just solved a problem for me. Thank you.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, that was a missing piece to my puzzle. Mark, thank you so much for an opportunity to talk with you. And thanks for doing this service for the gay community. It's really spectacular.
You're welcome. I appreciate you and your time that you devoted for this podcast. We really appreciate it. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.